fighting for America.
We've got to move away from what our Labor Secretary Tom Perez calls a train and pray approach. We train them and we pray that they can get a job.
Fighting for Idaho.
There's a lot of power in family. There's a lot of power in faith, and there's a lot of power in freedom. Christians and conservatives need to no longer be afraid, because we are the majority. We just happen to be the silent majority.
Fighting for you.
The Bible says we should pray without ceasing, and I think God meant it when he said it. Even if it's just a quick, fast popcorn prayer, as we used to say years ago, prayer is the key to a life of peace and hope.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Amen.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, good morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Joining us now, Chief Masterson of the Boise Police Department, to get his thoughts on crime and punishment. And Chief, always a pleasure to have you.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Your thoughts just on where we are as a city. Big accolades to you. Sheriff Rainey, the feds, for Boise being the safest city or one of the safest cities in the country to live. That's not an easy thing to accomplish, sir.
No, it's not. Not in a metropolitan area of almost 500,000 people. I think it's attributed to a couple of things. I think one is the declining national trend in crime. We're part of that. But I think more importantly that we have focused on some directed targeted efforts to clean things up in certain areas. You saw the downtown safety project, which has resulted in some great things. But I think more importantly, it's the level of involvement that we have from our community and that people still really do care here about public safety.
Indeed. Easier said than done. What are our biggest threats? We hear it from Kieran Donahue, Sheriff Donahue, in Canyon County when we're speaking about the gangs, the meth. We see now heroin production at an all-time high. What really, in the city of Treso in particular, are our biggest threats?
Well, I think we still need to focus on drugs, because we see what drugs and alcohol do as drivers to our jail populations and the stupid things that people do. I look at the crime statistics, Kevin, and commercial burglaries are down. Our residential burglaries are still at the lowest levels in 25 years. We're still working on the first reported homicide in the city. You know, I'd tell you that it still kind of centers on some numbers with domestic violence, and I think a lot of our work is as first responders to people in crisis. We've really shifted from a crime-fighting role to one of responding to people in crisis, because we are the first responders to that, unfortunately.
And when we take a look at the state of the police department, how are we doing as far as staffing and manning and everything of that nature, sir?
We're just catching up. We hired 6 officers that are out at post starting a couple weeks ago. We have 3 lateral entries coming in June. And we just had a testing for the next class of 15, which will start hopefully sometime this September. We are losing a lot of people to retirements. There's about 51 people who are eligible to retire in the next 4 years from our department.
Chief, what else can we talk about today? Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about what happened during the legislative season, but we do want to make sure that you get your points across. You do believe in community policing and everything else. We want to make sure that we're fair to you, sir. So when we take a look at, the drugs, and you have the programs in the schools, we talk about the gangs and everything else. Again, we take it for granted how blessed we are. Sometimes people get crazy with the driving and such. It's certainly not Los Angeles here.
Yeah, I'm not gone yet. You talk like the rest of the media that want to get my last words. I expect to come back on your show a few times.
Yes, we'd love to have you.
A lot of stuff that's going on out there, the whole issue of guns and violence and mass shootings, what we saw down at Fort Hood again. Why aren't we working more upstream in those areas instead of now talking about, well, we're going to put $30 million into a West Texas University to teach officers how to better respond to these. Let's look at preventing them instead of responding to them.
Well, and that really comes to the point of violence and guns and what to do. Well, before we get to Brian in Boise, there's been a couple articles. We might have touched on it the last time that you were here, sir, when we talked about folks are concerned about the, to quote the Wall Street Journal, the militarization of the police. MRAPs in Napa, you've got Ada County with a kind of a vehicle. Are you concerned about that and the impact it's having on your ability to control crime and to fight crime?
I don't think so. I think that there is a perception that we have to be cautious about as we acquire surplus military equipment, but don't judge us on the form. Judge us on the substance of how we interact with people. I think that there's a big difference between how a soldier performs and how a police officer in a democratic society performs and interacts with people. Unfortunately, what I just talked about is that, you know, when we see the weapons, when we see other types of violence that are out there, I have to protect the first responders. I have to. Panel vans don't work for us anymore in stopping high-powered bullets. And unfortunately, and fortunately, when the military is coming back from the recent theater and they have surplus equipment, it gives us the opportunity to pick something like that up. But I think the public should be more concerned when police departments go out and get drones to peek on people.
You haven't gotten a drone yet?
No drones, no aircraft. But like I said, I think that there are the more important discussions of what we do with that technology versus that we just acquire it.
Let's go to Brian in Boise at 580KIDO. Good morning, Brian. You're on with Chief Masterson.
Well, thank you. Chief Masterson, I do agree with you in regards to going more upstream. You did qualify that Boise's first responders, and I'm certain you have heard from the public that that the first responders are those who are there as immediate to be able to defend anybody from harm or injury. And in fact, that's what occurred in April of 2012 at McDivitt Pond. Two gang-style guys were coming towards myself and my family, and they were saying they were going to hurt people. And I turned to let them see that I was open carry, and they qualified in explicit language that, oh, he's packing, and they turned and left. And they went over to the skate park and started harassing people over there. And that's just – so I do agree with you that more upstream you go, the better it is. My question for you I do have, though, different from that, is what do you have the citizens do when they do see – a police officer, specifically within the city of Boise, because that's where you are in command of, when you see them, when they are observed violating state or city code?
Well, I think we have a complaint process that people call in. I know they frequently call in. They'll call in driving complaints. They're the largest number of calls that we get. But if you have a concern about an officer's performance, we want to hear about it, good or bad. And you can contact the department with that concern.
Okay, I would say I've never had a negative, what I would call interaction with police, Boise police. I think you guys are really excellent what you guys do, and I do thank you as well for your commitment that you've had to our community here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Ryan, thank you for the call. This brings up a point, and this was in the news a while ago, where you had the female officer with the YouTube and everything else. What was your perspective on that?
Well, you know, we have taught in our organization that the public has a right, if they have legal standing and they're legally in a place, that they can film our interactions as long as they don't interfere with us. So, I mean, we admitted to that. We admitted that we can do better. We know that that video was used as a training video for other police departments and other citizens. It was a guy that wanted his 15 seconds of fame. He goes around provoking folks like that. We should have handled it better, and we learned from it, and we are handling it better today.
Well, and again, as the unofficial media critic, it just seemed interesting. You know, we didn't really take an opinion on it. We went back and forth and let the listeners do it here at 580KIDO. But, you know, the media portrayal of it and having this goof on, you know, from the officer's perspective, I mean, here you have somebody who's under stress just trying to do their job. And I'm sure a lot of people on the force had sympathy for this officer who, again, doesn't do it to be famous, but all of a sudden she's everywhere, and this jabroni from wherever he was, rights were allegedly violated.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, Kevin, is that if I'm going to be contacted by an officer like that, she was friendly, she was polite, she wasn't overbearing or oppressive. I thought it was a good contact. But you know what? He had a right to be there and film, and if safety was a concern, we call another officer over to make sure that we're watching that individual as well as taking care of the business of the traffic stop.
Chief Masterson with us as we continue on here at 580 KIDO. Now, Chief, you've made some comments that were famous. Let's share these with everybody. I'm sure you know where I'm going.
We think it's a bad law. We think it's a bad mix. We don't think it's necessary, given the climates that we have on our college campuses. We're supported by the college leaders who unanimously agree that weapons should not be carried on campus.
These are tough comments that provoked a lot of thoughts both here and throughout the state. Your thoughts on campus carry, your thoughts on going public.
Yeah, well, I had, you know, let me just clarify something, because people thought, well, I just showed up that day and I should have been given some type of special treatment. I had registered the day before to testify. We had four other police officers there, some as far away as Moscow, that had come down to testify as well. And then we were effectively shut out. This wasn't an issue about guns on campus. This was an issue about the NRA and the backing for our legislatures for an election season coming up. That's what it was about. You had your police officials throughout the state that didn't think that this was a good rule, that it was a solution looking for a problem that didn't exist. We think that it's good now. And this was basically, you know, when you're running for re-election and you come out in support of something like this or opposed to it, you're opposed to it, you're going to be the subject of what you see on TV now with the federally elected officials. I mean, they're just bombarded on certain issues, and that's what would have happened. And that's what the NRA said. They got a mailing ready to go for 225,000 people here saying you didn't support this law. So it was all about the election cycle and the timing and the appearance of who's in support of pro or con gun laws.
Chief Masterson with us as we continue on here. You, what was the feedback that you received? People supportive or were they not when the police chief goes public and says democracy failed?
Yeah, I think people were generally supportive. They see what goes on up at the Capitol. It was a no-huddle offense on this one. It was going to go through. I can recognize a no-huddle offense. But all I wanted was the opportunity to have the discussion. I think that we miss out something in a free society when we don't have those unfettered discussions of safety and the unintended consequences and impact. And if they can't occur in the people's house up there, then they will occur in other venues that we have, such as...
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. We continue on with Chief Masterson from the Boise Police Department. We go to the phones, and Chief, we will talk about the Veterans Group and the great work that you and Reverend Bill are doing in a minute. We go to Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot, joining us now at 580 KIDO with Chief Masterson.
Good morning, Chief Masterson. How are you today?
Good morning.
Just a quick question here. I understand this is an election year, and of course legislators are going to pass most anything in favor of the Second Amendment rights issues. And I think the campus carry bill was also not the most important one that should have been passed. The real question is why you were against the campus carry in light of all the shootings that have taken place in gun-free zones, and in light of the fact that people have been carrying guns on that campus for years, and administrators have never tried to stop it with metal detectors or other equipment.
Yeah, it's a good question. I wasn't totally opposed to the bill. I think that we should codify into practice in the state certain aspects of that bill that were good. I think retired law enforcement, I think we needed to clarify that off-duty law enforcement could also carry the gun. I'm a little concerned about the weakness of our concealed weapons carry permit and the training. There's nothing in there that standardizes a lesson plan. There's nothing in there basically other than, you know, who you are, who you can provide that type of training. And the fact that you just have to shoot 98 rounds without a qualification concerns me in crowded environments like schools. But you're absolutely right. I mean, what we have in a free society is, unless you want to put metal detectors everywhere, there's no 100% guarantee that you're going to keep a gun out of a prohibited area. And that's what we see at courthouses. And if you want to do that at a football stadium, You know what the costs are going to be, and you know how long it's going to take to wait in line as you go through those things.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much. We continue on. Terry, State College, Pennsylvania, for Chief Masterson at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Chief Masterson. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Terry.
I have a question, which is actually, I'm just very puzzled. I was at the Senate meeting, and I was hearing, $2 million, and I could be wrong on that, but large sums of money for additional security once the individuals with enhanced carry started carrying, or at least, that they understood they were carrying. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, and I ask this because I have my youngest daughter's now looking at different schools to go to. Well, if we're going to spend, per se, $2 million for all this enhanced security, and we know that these people that are coming in are trained, why didn't we already spend the $2 million in security for people that aren't trained or criminals and whoever that are carrying on campus that shouldn't have been, per se? So I'm a little puzzled why the security wasn't already in place, but yet now that we're going to have, lawful carry on campus, we're going to put the security in place. It seems contrary and backwards to my understanding. If you could help me understand that a little bit, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, Terry, I don't run a college campus, so that those questions are best left up to the college administrators as to why they do or don't. We live in a society where we create laws, and when we create laws, there is an expectation that, 98% of the people will comply with them. And I think that that's the case. But you're absolutely right, is that one of the hard things now that college administrators will have to decide is, because there's no requirement to declare that you carry a gun in a campus or anywhere else, is how are you going to determine who is the ones who have the lawful right to carry versus the ones who will be now packing without a permit or without the enhanced permit? That's a good question.
And if they have a concealed carry, wouldn't that, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like registration, wouldn't that identify them, but yet those don't necessarily want to be identified? It kind of takes away from the privacy issue of your own choice. So you understand my concern here?
I do, and I don't have a quick answer for you, sir.
Well, but I do thank you for your time.
Yeah,
thank you
thanks.
Very much.
All right, 580KIDO. Chief, a couple more quick thoughts here. You said you were concerned about people carrying at the football games, but according to the bill, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can't do that under this bill.
Right. No, I'm just saying is that the caller, Terry, made an important point about technology and prohibiting things like that. There are a lot of venues that the law specifically says that you cannot carry in venues that are over 10,000 people. So we think it's very clear with that. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of changes with the security in that area. We still expect that people aren't going to carry a gun where it's prohibited.
Chief Masterson, how concerned are you, and here's an open-ended question, that folks here in Boise, along with Ada County and all your brothers and sisters in law enforcement, if God forbid something would happen at a campus, at a school, how do you deal for the, oh my gosh, this has happened moment?
Yeah. I just attended a training session with about 80 sergeants, lieutenants, and captains from the five police agencies here in Ada County that focused on mass shootings and our response to it. Because, when it happens, it just won't be the Boise Police Department or Meridian or the Ada County Sheriff, is that we have a rich history of supporting each other in emergencies and crisis. And it was a good training session. It was 4 hours. I think we clarified a lot of the expectations. But I'll tell you, Kevin, I cringe, and I think most of my colleagues do, is to the day that we have to respond to that, and with the hope that we can handle it like some of our other colleagues have across the country that have done a good job.
Chief, finally, let's talk a little bit about a program that you're very proud of. You've saw a need for it, and that's the Veterans Program, working with Reverend Bill and the Boise Rescue Mission and other folks within the community to make sure that our veterans return home and that their unique needs are taken care of. you know, so many times in the old days, we just throw people on the streets, and, you know, that has consequences.
Well, I think this is a good example working upstream. Of course, we came to that realization after a deadly force encounter with George Nickel back in August of 2009. And we've been meeting ever since. We'll get 35 to 40 people around the table each month to talk about how we can connect and improve our services, not only from the police department dealing with veterans in crisis, you know, having a gun, threatening suicide, being drunk, to how you can get the dentures for that older veteran, to how we can get Vietnam veterans plugged into the VA, to, you know, we've got Steve Tillery has a fund for his son who was shot down and killed, and he's got a crawfish boil coming up in a trap shoot. So they're the fun things that we meet and talk about how we can work on the front end of the system better to make sure that the services get to the vets so that they don't end up in jail, they don't end up in a standoff with police, and I think we're being pretty effective.
Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Nope. I think, you know, it's a good day. When I was in briefing this morning, the officers just coming on for this new shift were lamenting the fact that there were only a couple entries in our watch commander's bulletin for the week. And that's a good week because that means that there's not a whole lot of crime happening out there, that people are safe. And that's the way it should be in one of these special weeks as we prepare for Easter.
Chief Masterson, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller along with Dave Burnett back from the weekend. Dave, was it a long weekend or a short weekend?
They're always too short. There's just too much stuff to jam into one weekend, and this was no exception.
I am with you on this as we start the day. So how was your weekend?
It was good. It was a good weekend. Nice Easter, beautiful weather for early sunrise services. But a very nice weekend. Other than I did receive a text from a friend from Southern California that I've worked with in the past, who's very close friends with Kevin Sharp, who let us know that the country singer who was raised in Weezer, Idaho, passed away on Saturday morning. So that was kind of a sad note.
Oh, sorry to hear that, yep. And our condolences to his family and his fans.
Yep. Kevin, who he was actually born in Reading but raised in Weezer. His parents went there when he was like 7 or 8, and they bought the Fiddler Restaurant in Weezer. He was raised in Weezer and then in the 90s made his break into music and had several big country hits, did very well, and worked hard with St. Jude and different organizations, just bringing attention to cancer. Didn't die from cancer, died from complications of stomach surgery, but 43 years old. So hit with that kind of sad news. We had it posted at 580kidu.com early yesterday. But, other than that, it was a very good weekend, though.
Indeed it was. Of course, a lot of people going to services and such. And by the way, quite frankly, I wish people would go to Mass and services more than just once or twice a year. I was driving by the churches yesterday, just kind of taking a look at things, and I thought to myself, wow, they're packed more than usual.
What's Easter? Happens Easter and Christmas, and I've always looked at it this way. Better then than not.
I suppose. Better to, I guess.
No, it would be the case. Better then than not.
Well, better that they would actually go more than twice a year.
Would you rather have none?
Yeah, because they're hypocrites. Is it really going to do you any good to go twice a year? How about go every year? How about do some good works? How about focus on something other than themselves? That's all I'm saying. I mean, if you're going twice a year, do you really get the whole message of Easter? Do you really get the whole message of Christmas?
But you can't judge. You can't judge your hearts.
Yeah, I can judge. Everybody can judge. You know, people that say, oh, I can't judge. That's the problem in our society today. We don't judge anymore. Oh, well, Timmy just kissed a man. That's okay with me as long as he's not kissing me.
I would rather see them come once a year, twice a year, than not at all.
Right, but back to my point about judging. The bottom line is we should be judging people more. I think so. I think the world would be better off if we had more judgment. Like the 49ers guy, Alden Smith, who runs around, I've got a bomb, I got a bomb. He should be let go and fired. Oh, well, we can't do that. We can't judge him. Or Major Nadal Hassan, who's collecting money still while, you know, still awaiting trial for the Fort Hood shootings. Well, we can't judge him. I mean, when do we bring back good old judgment?
Interesting. Very forgiving of you on the day after Easter.
It's all over now. It's back to the grind.
Wow.
But again, that, you know, we should judge. Well, we don't judge the illegals. John Boehner trying to cut a deal to bring the illegals in. Well, we can't judge them. Well, they're breaking the law. Well, you can't call them illegals anymore. I remember being on a television show back when I used to do television, and we had a gentleman on. He called them illegals, and they said, "You say that one more time, and you're out of here." And it's true. And NBC has a policy of not calling them illegals. And you're thinking, well, okay, then what are they? Well, they're this. It's a more sensitive, politically correct term. And then we have Nancy Pelosi going, well, we need to just let everybody in. Well, we can't afford the people that we have now. We have more people on disability and collecting employment assistance than we're actually working now. I mean, where does it stop? Well, we can't judge. It's time to bring back good old-fashioned judgment at 580KIDO. That's how I see it.
I may start judging you here in a minute, Kevin.
Well, you've always judged me, so what's the deal? Yes.
I've criticized you. I've judged you. Very different. I do have a question for you, and I'll let you judge this.
Uh-oh.
Because I think this should have been done a long time. I've always contended, like, Idaho State University, U of I should have done it. But Coach Brian Harsin, they're doing what they're calling a Bronco Blitz this week. Mm-hmm. He's not going, but all of his assistants are scouring the state. They're going to hit every high school program in the state, talk with coaches, talk with players, and see what they can drum up within the state for recruits. I find that a very smart move. I've always thought that Idaho State and U of I should do that as well. I mean, they have a little bit tougher time getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are there other places where they do that? I mean, like, you know, in states where you've been, Alabama or Pennsylvania or anywhere where the colleges do. I mean, they hit every high school to see what's out there.
Brian Harsin is really adhering to a lot of things he probably picked up in Texas. And what made Mac Brown really what Mac Brown was, and the coach at Baylor, Chuck Stevenson, I know that, Art Boyles or something like that, is that they have such a connection to the high school things. And it's a brilliant move by Coach Harsin, although, and I understand what he's doing. He's getting his assistants out. It's not, and look, we can read more into this if you'd like, and it's not about just one coach. Here, remember back in the day at 580KIDO, it was all about Chris Peterson, and you see the differences. Coach Harsin wants it to be about his coaches and his players, and not that it wasn't about Chris Peterson, but remember, the Broncos were synonymous with Chris Peterson. So
Harsin can't go out this week.
Well, why can't he?
It's against NCAA rules.
Well, why did you say that?
Oh, well, that's why his assistants can go out.
Right, but you gave me the impression that you know, he was doing this deliberately. Well, he can't. Okay.
Well, no, what he's doing deliberately is he is scouring the state. I mean, whether it's Donnelly High School or Tudot High School,
right?
They're hitting every high school and saying, you know, Coach, what do you got for kids? We'd like to talk to them.
Right, and again, back to the original point that I was meandering around.
Mm-hmm.
A, it only helps, and B, Auburn got into trouble with this a couple years ago. They actually had, and, you know, I think this was after the national championship, and it was really bad for them because they just lost a few, and it was before Chizik got run. They actually had like either an Auburn caravan where they had the coaches, or they were coming in limousines to these schools, and probably it was just for big name recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen that type of outreach before, but what Coach Harsin is doing is something, and you remember the original incarnation of Sports Radio 630, The Fan, was something that our sister station that was broken on that station 2 or 3 years ago when Coach Akey, it was revealed at the time, "Hey, Bubba!" Anyway, I just love doing his voice. He and Alex Jones, when Coach Akey failed to come down and had any relationship with any of the Treasure Valley high schools, and then Coach Akey almost got into fisticuffs, and I was there. I saw it with a couple people that worked at the station. It was a Vandals boosters thing at Louis. It didn't look good for a lot of us. But anyway, Coach Akey failed to recruit the state of Idaho, and particularly Eagle High School, and we had a lot of people disclosing that. the Vandal coaching staff got mad and started throwing allegations. And I'm thinking to myself, Chris Peterson was focused on Texas and California and everything else, and rightly so. You had a chance to do what maybe to a degree College of Idaho is doing, or Idaho State is. You hit on it. These mm-hmm. schools should have been doing that. And Harsin's, it's a smart move on his part. It really is. And it might actually grow the brand enough that you and I aren't complaining about not having enough people in the stands, because people have a connection to the program.
Yeah, right now, the Broncos in 2014, they have two juniors from Idaho committed. Both are great players. Chase Blakely, who is out of Coeur d'Alene, great player. They were on the state championship team. Then Kikoa Nalwani, who's with Rocky Mountain High School, good player. Both are will be seniors, both committed. But I guess they're trying to turn more up. But I just find it something that Idaho State and Idaho should have been doing.
Well, they should have been doing it, and particularly Idaho. And like I said, it shows you that Harsin really has his a finger on the pulse here, and he should, because he's a product of this area, of the state. Mm-hmm. At 580 KIDO. Now, Dave Burnett, let's get back to you. And apparently they released the Broncos schedule the other night. It's a bunch of night games or something like that, a lot of national
yes.
TV or something like
yeah.
that. I figured you would have the pulse on that. Do you? Or
what is the pulse? Yeah, their opener, Colorado State.
What is the pulse?
Yeah.
You know what's going on.
Well, Colorado State will be an 8 o'clock start. It's on ESPN. You know my opinion on this. High school football belongs on Friday, college on Saturday afternoon, and pro on Sunday. That's my feeling. Mind you, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of exposure that is there for recruiting. It is tough on the fans. Very difficult on the fans. If it's a Saturday, even if it's a Saturday 8 o'clock kickoff. That's tough. You're trying to get, if you're trying to get your 10-year-old kid out there to watch the game, it'll be after midnight before it's done. I don't know. I struggle with it. I understand big dollars involved in it, but I don't like it.
Well, you have to wonder if they're taking a step back by doing these Friday night games and Saturday night games being the last one on the schedule. The only thing, I guess, worse than that would be not being on.
Yeah, and that's kind of the deal. I mean, not being on at all, and when they weren't on ESPN, when they were on the Root Channel or whatever they were on that couple of seasons, people hated that. So it's difficult to me. It's difficult for your home attendance. You want to fill that stadium. 8 o'clock kickoffs are not the way to fill that stadium. But if you want exposure for the program nationally, honestly, because the Pac-10's tightening the nut down, they're not doing Pac-10 not doing nearly as many late starts on the West Coast anymore. They've decided not doing that. So Boise State will really kind of be one of the only programs out there playing at that time on TV. But if you're trying to build home attendance, that makes it tough.
Well, and again, by the way, it's 551 at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett. Here's the marketing aspect, though. They're back on ESPN, as you just pointed out, mm-hmm. which you and I were talking about it, and the production quality from CBS, the production quality from Root and NBC just wasn't there.
No.
And I mean, ESPN will, and look, they'll get the branding on game day and everything else. And, this is it's crazy these days because you have so much, for lack of a better term, diversification of college football. You've got Fox with the Pac-12. You've got the Big Ten with whomever. You've got the SEC now with their own network. And that's going to be quite a push for ESPN. A lot of their resources are going to be going that way. Brent Musburger yep. and is going over there.
And we saw what ESPN did when Boise State was not on ESPN. They quit talking about them.
Right, it's like they were the NHL.
Yeah,
except no Barry Melrose.
They just quit talking. Mark May, he didn't even get to hate them.
Finally, because you'll tell us when it's time to go. Anything about Washington and Peterson? What he's up to?
No, just that he I talked Thursday or Friday, he was doing the Chris Peterson to the media thing. No fallout from that, basically not talking to him. So we'll see how that goes. I do got to go, though. Your traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County and
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And 557, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Coming up, the move by the West, reclaim the lands. You can read about that if you're just moving in and out of work at 580 KIDO on the Kevin Miller Hot List, the Happy Easter edition. Do wish that you had a great and happy Easter. and we'll have the latest on that. Also, an interaction between what's going on at the Bundy Ranch and the folks at MSNBC, what they're saying and what's actually happening. You guessed it. It's far from the truth. We'll have the latest there. And coming up, our great friend Dave Petza will give us news about your money during the 7 o'clock hour. 5:58, let's get you to work safely and on time. At 5:59, and a very special guest joining us in the 8 o'clock hour, Winthrop Smith, former executive vice president of Merrill Lynch. We'll talk a little bit more about the fiscal markets. The markets have been up and down. We'll get the local perspective from Dave Petzo. Then we'll talk to Mr. Smith. And Mr. Smith will give us his guidance for starting over. That's right. He started over after leaving a lucrative corporate position. Hopefully, you don't have to do that, but if you do, we'll give you the blueprint. Opinion News Solutions. Kay Milley with you. It's early, but we're rolling. Thank you all for joining us. Don't forget Fox News on the radio. Emily Wither reporting live. The gang's all here. Much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Emmett.